The Word of Faith Netcast is on the air. Well, praise the Lord. This is Dr. Bill Bailey, and this is the Word of Faith Netcast. I'm glad you could join us for another Netcast today. And today, we're going to be concluding our teaching on faith is a choice. You have to choose to operate in faith. You have to choose to live by faith. And that involves speaking the Word of God with your mouth. And we're going to be getting into that today in our teaching segment. Before we do, though, I want to encourage you to check out speakfaith.tv. I have never been more enthusiastic about speakfaith.tv than I am right now. You know, God spoke to me many years ago about speakfaith.tv. I can tell you exactly where I was. I was at Faith and Victory Church. I was sitting on the next to the back row. And as I was sitting there, I was just thinking. I was just kind of, you know how you think to yourself, a service was about to start, and I was just sitting there, and I thought, you know, there needs to be a Word of Faith Roku channel. And no sooner had I thought that than the Lord said, you start it. And I went, what? I mean, literally, I was surprised. I said, Lord, I don't know how to start a Roku channel. I've never programmed a Roku channel. I've never written anything like that. He said, you can find out how. I will put people in your path to show you how to write a Roku channel, how to program it. And I went, okay, I'm game. And sure enough, through a series of divine appointments, God put me in touch with people who gave me the initial code that I needed to be able to develop the SpeakFaith.tv Roku channel. Now, over the years, it has changed and it has grown. Things have happened. Matter of fact, Roku changed the way that they even allowed you to program. All of that had to be taken into account to develop SpeakFaith.tv. But God had a purpose in getting it out there. We now have almost 14,000 households connected to SpeakFaith.tv, and multiple people in those households are watching SpeakFaith.tv. So I am just excited to have been a part of what God has done through that particular aspect of the ministry. So check it out, SpeakFaith.tv. And then on top of that, Word of Faith Radio, as I always talk about Word of Faith Radio, again, another series of divine appointments where God put me together with Harold Cagle, Harold and Peggy Cagle, had the vision, had the idea of a Word of Faith internet radio station, but didn't know how to do it. Well, I'm, of course, a computer guy, and so the computer technology, all of that I was able to put together and start Word of Faith Radio for Brother Harold and Sister Peggy Cagle. And I tell you what, that has been a blessing as well. God will use you through a series of connections, divine appointments that He has where He brings people together to do what He wants you to do. Now, let's go directly into the conclusion of our message of faith is a choice. You choose to believe in evolution. You choose to believe that homosexuality is all right. You choose to believe all of these things are true just because the world's saying it. And if you hear it repeated often enough, it will become part of you. I mean, Goebbels found that out in his propaganda during World War II. He found that if you repeat a lie often enough, now you know it's a lie when you're saying it, but if you repeat it often enough, then people will believe it and they'll swear up and down that it's absolutely the truth. Same thing with global warming. You could say all day long that man caused climate change, but there's no evidence that man caused climate change. Now, is the climate changing? Oh, it changes all the time. It gets hot, it gets cold, it gets hot, it gets cold. Cycles occur. You know, winter happens, summer happens. And in the same way, there's seasons of the earth. Things happen where they get hot and cold. But there's nothing that shows that man caused any of that. Matter of fact, it's pretty arrogant on the part of man to think that he could cause problems with the climate. But that's another story. The point is, they chose to believe that. Well, you can choose to believe the Bible. You can choose to accept what God's Word says is true. And here's the thing. You've got to believe that what you are saying is coming to pass. I think my mouse died. There we go. Don't you love it with computers? Let's go back over to Esword, to the scripture, and go to Luke. That's where I had you turn originally. Luke chapter 11. Okay. Luke chapter 11. Let's look at verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, the word ask here is an interesting word in the Greek. A lot of people read it and say it's just, you know, please, sir, may I have some more? You remember the old Dickens thing with a little kid asking for more extra bread? Oliver Twist. Oliver Twist. You know, please, sir, may I have some more? Like that kind of ask. That's not the kind of ask he's talking about here. This is an ask that is a demand. We are to demand, and actually the Greek says demand is a partner. Ask and it shall be given to you. Demand it as a partner. Here's the thing, and again, this is something I said when I was teaching one day. I was on the radio, and I was teaching, and I said, faith is never passive. Faith is never passive. And when I said it, I thought, uh-oh, I need to write that down, because that bears some study. And sure enough, ask and ye shall receive is demand as a partner. Now, you're not demanding from God. Brother Hagin taught on this, and he made it clear. We're not demanding from God. We're demanding our rights as believers from the devil. The devil's trying to make you sick. You're demanding health because Jesus bore your sicknesses. He carried your diseases. If he bore them, I don't have to bear them. Right? So, you know, it would be a miscarriage of justice for me to bear sickness and disease because Jesus bore it for me. I don't have to. So I demand from Satan that he take his hands off my body, and I must be the healed of the Lord because the Word of God says I am. Therefore, I demand that I'm the healed of the Lord. And if I'm passive about it, see if I'm like, you know, a little Oliver Twist, please, Satan, please don't make me sick. You know what he's going to do? He's going to laugh. Because he could care less. He has no feelings for you. He wants to destroy you. And really, when you get right down to it, he doesn't want to destroy you because he hates you so bad. He really doesn't care one whit about you one way or the other. What he sees you as is a danger to his kingdom. Because if you stand there as a Christian that know your rights and privileges in Christ Jesus, and you speak the Word of God, and you operate according to the Word of God, and you speak the Word, and you get people saved, and you get people healed, and you get people filled with the Holy Ghost, you are a danger to his kingdom. He would like to take you out of the way simply because he wants to stop the flow of the Word in the earth. That's the only reason he wants to stop you. He really does not have anything personally one way or another against you other than you're one of those Christians, little Christ. And you know, it's like a high school girl. Little high school girl dates a boy and he, you know, is mean to her somehow or another and she gets mad. Well, she can't go beat him up. She's just a little slip of a thing. But what does she do? She goes and tears up his picture. Tears that picture up. Why? Because it's the closest thing she can do to hurt him is to destroy his image. What's the way Satan is? He looks at us and sees Jesus because we're Christians, little Christ. He looks at us and says, well, I can't do anything about Jesus, but I can tear them up. That's again, see, that's his only motivation. It's not personal with him. He just wants to destroy the image. So the thing is, we need to get some backbone spiritually. We need to demand some things. We need to stand on the Word of God. When it talks about there in Mark 11, believe you receive, the believe is to reach out and take. Reach out and take. There's nothing passive about reaching out and taking. Now, the Lord's offering things to us freely. Again, it's not his fault. It's not him we're demanding anything of. He's freely giving us all things richly to enjoy. But if we don't reach out and take it, then we won't receive it. That's what receiving is reaching out and taking. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. I mentioned the woman with the issue of blood earlier. What about her? She heard what Jesus taught. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So she heard Jesus talk. She heard, the scripture says she heard of Jesus, which I believe means she heard his message. She heard the word, so faith came. We know she had faith because Jesus commended her on her faith. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. So she had to have faith, right? So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. She heard the word. And then she said to herself, now if you read the scripture, it says, she said, that's words, she said to herself, if I but touch the hem of his garment, then I shall be made whole. So she made a decision to reach out and touch Jesus' clothes. She didn't go up and ask Jesus to be healed. A lot of people did, and that's fine. But she didn't ask. She came up and took it. She reached out and grabbed his clothes to the point that Jesus said, somebody touched me. Why? Because it said he felt power flow out of him. Now, the King James says virtue, but as Brother Hagin has pointed out many times, that word virtue in the Greek means power, anointing. He felt or discerned a transmitting of the power of God from him to her. And he knew that somebody had touched him with the touch of faith. And so she touched his garment. She was made whole. Well, she really, if you think about this, now if you, again, you've got to think in terms of this situation. She is a woman with an issue of blood. She shouldn't have been in public because she's not allowed to be in public according to Jewish law. She's not supposed to be around any other people according to Jewish law because she was unclean. She's supposed to stand off from people and yell, unclean, unclean, so they won't come around her. So the fact that she went into the crowd was a stoning offense. The fact that she reached out to touch the rabbi's clothing, because Jesus wore rabbinical clothing, you know, wherever he went, to reach out and touch that clothing was an even stronger offense. And to say within herself, if I but touch his clothes, I'll be healed, and didn't even ask him to be healed, she was taking it. But now, did Jesus say, somebody touch me? Go find out who touched me. I want a stoner. Was he upset? No, he wasn't upset. He was happy. He was excited. He said, who touched me? And when finally she came up, and notice what it says, she confessed. You don't really confess unless you think you did something wrong. That's why she was kind of cowering back and going, Lord, I'm sorry, but I just believed if I touched your garment, I'd be made whole. Jesus said, daughter, don't worry. Your faith has made you whole. Why? Because she took it. She took it. The scripture says received it. Well, receive means she took it. It was an active decision on her part to make a move and receive it. Now, again, faith is a choice. Now I go back to where I was in the hospital. When I was in the hospital, as you know, because of the celiac disease, of course, it was undiagnosed. We didn't know that's what it was. All I knew is that I kept eating and I kept losing weight. And I kept eating and I kept losing weight. And the more weight I lost, not the stronger I got, which is what you'd think. I mean, if you weigh 600 pounds and you start losing weight, you know, the doctor told me when I went to see him, he said, whatever you're doing, keep it up. Because he was happy. You're losing weight. This is great. But I kept losing, and I kept losing, and I kept getting weaker, and I kept getting weaker. And by the time it was over with, I couldn't get out of bed. And it was at that point, being a man, that's just something about being a man. I guess it's that testosterone somehow affects your brain. I don't know what it is. But Belinda kept telling me, you got to go to the hospital. And I was laying there going, I'm fine. I couldn't move. I couldn't lift my arms. I couldn't lift my legs off the bed. I couldn't get out of bed. I'm fine. And it wasn't a face confession. It's just me being stupid. That testosterone at work. So I'm laying there in bed. Finally, it got to the point. If you're laying in bed and your wife is changing your diapers, you know, you feel like suddenly, this is really wrong. I need to get this fixed. Yes. You know, I mean, duh. So I said, call the ambulance. Let's go to the hospital. Well, by the time I got to the hospital, since I couldn't lift my hands off the bed, I couldn't lift my feet off the bed, I couldn't roll over. If you asked me a question, I could barely talk, such that I finally just would use up, well, figure up for yes and figure down for no. That's all I could do is lay there and do that. And the doctors ran tests, and they did everything they knew to do, and they couldn't figure it out. They said, we just don't understand. And so there are the doctors looking at me. By that time, I was less than 150 pounds, probably closer to 130. I was 6'2", laying in bed, skin and bones, literally could see every bone in my rib cage. And I'm laying there, and the doctor said, we don't know what this is, but you are failing to thrive. That was the official term that they were going to put on my death certificate. You are failing to thrive. That's exactly what they put on my mom's death certificate. That was her cause of death, failure to thrive. Because it basically means you're not getting any nutrition, you're starving to death, and you're going to die. And they said, you've got about a week to live. And frankly, there's nothing we can do for you. We need the hospital bed for other people that we can help, so we want to send you home. Well, you know, when you hear that, you kind of go, this isn't good. You know, I realized they really have given up on me. They weren't giving me any medicine. They weren't doing anything for me. They just wanted to roll me out of there and get the bed back. I'd been there for over 8 weeks. Laying there, couldn't move. So, and all they do is poke and prod and take blood and run tests and say, you know, your numbers are way off. Well, duh. You know, why? We don't know. So, there I am, giving up to die, and I had a decision to make. Now, see, this gets back to faith being a choice. I could have decided very easily, I think I'll just go home. I mean, I've got a week to live. All I got to do is lay here for 5 more days, and I'm out of here, and I can just go home. But I decided something as I was laying there. I said, no, I'm too young. I'm 62 years old. I shouldn't be dying at 62 years old. My lifespan's 120 years plus, you know, or rapture, whichever comes first, as Pastor says. So I said, you know, I'm a middle-aged guy, 62. That's just barely middle-aged. I'm not going to let myself die. But there I am laying in the hospital. They told me, you're out of here in a week. I had to make a choice. Now, thankfully, I had Pastor. I had Miss Janie. Miss Janie had given me a list of scriptures. And Belinda was reading them over me every day. I was reading them when I could because I could only read a few sentences before I couldn't read anymore. I didn't have the energy because I wanted to read it out loud. Words. I wanted to speak words. But I was so weak I couldn't speak very much. So I let her read them. At least I could hear it. And so I just made a decision. Laying there in bed, I made a decision. I'm going to live and not die. Glory to God. This is going to be a testimony. And so I just gritted my teeth and said, I choose faith. I choose to live. And sure enough, I tell you the other thing I did is I prayed and I said, Lord, give these doctors wisdom because they don't know their head from a hole in the ground, apparently. They run all these tests. They've looked at all these numbers and all they can say is your liver numbers are wrong. Your kidney numbers are wrong. Your blood count is wrong. Everything. Well, I said, okay, why? We don't know. I said, well, wouldn't it be good to find out? Well, we ran every test we know to run. I said, what about the test you don't know to run? And they said, well, we could send you up to Chapel Hill, see what they say. Like, you know, you don't trust us. Well, no, they said I was going to die. So I said, yeah, let's do that. So they put me in an ambulance. I couldn't move. Bounce, bounce, bounce. I go up to Chapel Hill. I get up there, and they start running all the same tests that these guys already run at High Point. And I'm like, guys, I got a week to live. You know? I mean, we don't have time to do all this over again. But, yeah, we got to be thorough. We got to run all this over again. Then they started doing some tests they hadn't done before. And sure enough, they go into my small intestine, and they found out I had celiac disease. And I have read some facts about that later. You only find a diagnosis of celiac 20% of the time, even with the right test. It is hard to find that diagnosis. But they finally found it. Once they found it, it was like, oh, now we understand. And I said, okay. They said, you're not getting any nutrition. I said, well, guess what? I eat and I lose weight. Duh. And they said, yeah, you're not getting any nutrition. All the cilia in your small intestines have been cemented to the side of the small intestine, and there's nothing to receive the nutrients. So they just flow straight through. I said, yeah, I know that. I've been dealing with diarrhea for 2 years. You know, and the whole time I'm telling my doctor, the doctor's like, well, you know, that happens sometimes. 2 years? But, you know, whatever. I'm laying there, and they say, yeah, it's celiac disease. All you got to do is not eat wheat. Well, practically everything I ate was wheat. Bread, pasta, cereals. Gluten, wheat gluten's in everything. You really got to watch. Soy sauce is made with wheat gluten. I mean, you really got to watch what has gluten in it. So they said, just don't eat gluten, you'll be fine. Well, the only problem is, I only had a week to live. I'm less than 130 pounds. I'm 6'2", and I can't move. So they said, you know, this has progressed to the point that you're not going to survive unless we feed you intravenously. So we need to put a PICC line in and feed you intravenously. And I thought to myself, now, they could have done that before. But you know why they didn't do it? They gave up. In High Point, they said, why put a PICC line in and prolong his life? We're just going to let him die. That's exactly, I asked the doctor later. He said, yeah, I mean, we could have prolonged your life, but to what end? We didn't know what was causing it, so we're just going to let you go. Well, that's a shocker. So they put me on this intravenous feed, and I started building up a little bit of strength. Before too long, I could lift my hand off the bed. I was like, whoa, hey, check that out. And gradually, I got a little stronger, and gradually, I got a little stronger. This was just this clear liquid they were feeding in, but it was full of all kinds of nutrients. And it was going straight into my veins, so I was getting direct feeding, so to speak. And I kept getting stronger and stronger, and finally, I got to where I could sit up on the edge of the bed without fainting, because when I'd sit up, I would faint out completely within less than 20 seconds. I'd just fall over. And the physical therapist would come in and say, get up and walk. I couldn't stand. I couldn't walk. And they just laid me back down and go, well, nothing we can do for you. They gave up on me too. So I just kept coming back, and I kept coming back, and I kept getting stronger. Finally, it got to the point that the physical therapist would come in and say, stand up, and I could stand up for about a minute, and then I'd fall out. But I could stand up. And it was just a process. Now, I've had a lot of people say, well, Dr. Bill, why did you just believe for supernatural healing? I did have supernatural healing. It's just like the second miracle that Jesus performed. Have you ever read about the second miracle? A lot of people read about the first miracle, turning water to wine. And it says this is the first miracle that Jesus did. But you know, the same scripture says that Jesus healed a guy who was healed as he went. In other words, it was a process. But then after that, describing that incident, it says, this second miracle Jesus did. So it called him being healed in a matter of time as a process, as a miracle. So I say, when people talk to me, I say, I received a miracle. Did you jump out of the bed immediately and were completely well? No, my legs had atrophied. My muscles had atrophied. I couldn't move. I couldn't lift my leg. One of the first exercises I did was to try to lift my foot off the bed while laying on my flat on my back, and I couldn't do it. And I kept working at that and working at that, and it took months to get to where I could lift my leg off the floor. And even sitting, just to be able to raise my leg up, I knocked the camera, but to raise my leg up was impossible. The fact that I can do that now is like, it's like a miracle to me. So the thing is, yeah, I received a miracle, but it occurred over time. It's kind of like Pastor tells a story about his toe. That hole in his toe didn't heal up instantly. It occurred over a period of time. But it's no less a healing. It's no less supernatural. It's no less the power of God. It just took some time for the restoration to occur. But if I had not chosen to operate in faith. If I had instead chosen to lay there and to believe the doctors and believe their report, I'd be dead. Now, praise the Lord, I'd be in heaven. Hallelujah. But I got some things to do down here yet. So I decided to stay. And now I can get up, I can walk, I can do, I can move, and I get stronger every single day. And, you know, here's a guy supposed to be dead. But I tell you what, when I believed God, it was not passive. I had to grip my teeth and say, I am coming out of this bed. Praise the Lord. And, you know, they'll say, if it's the last thing I do, it would have been the last thing I did if I didn't. But, praise the Lord, I got out. I got out of bed. I can go to the bathroom on my own. Hallelujah. You know, I tell you, to have your 26-year-old son change your diaper in bed is about the lowest feeling that a father can have. To be that helpless and that pitiful and that disgusting, that the experience that a guy has for the first time changing diapers is his dad's diapers. That was disgusting to me. I couldn't stay. I literally cried over that. It broke my heart that he had to deal with that. And I got so mad at the devil. Because, see, it wasn't anybody, any human's fault. People say, well, the doctors could have diagnosed it earlier. Yeah, but doctors are just practicing medicine. They barely get it right. You know what I'm saying? They're just practicing. But the great physician knows exactly what he's doing. And faith works. It's a choice. And that's what I want to leave you with tonight. Demand is a partner from the devil. Speak the word of God with authority. Stand for the word of God. Make a stand on God's word, and it will work for you. And if you don't work it, it ain't going to work. If you're whosoever that's not saying, it ain't going to work for you. But you got to choose to say it. Now, I know we've gone a little long. I have a tendency to do that. I have to remember Brother Osteen's revelation, the short-winded shall speak again, and tell myself, Brother Bill, shut up. Because I have to unhook. If I could keep going, believe me, I got a lot of scripture I could keep going. But I didn't choose to write any notes so I could quit. just unhook here. But praise the Lord, I just thank God that I'm the healed of the Lord. And every day I make this confession. Every cell and every organ in my body functions perfectly as God designed it to function. I tell you what the doctors told me. They said, there's nothing we can do for your liver. Your liver will never be right. Your liver numbers will always be skewed. They'll never be right. Your blood chemistry will always be messed up. That's just the way it is. My blood chemistry now is perfect. Absolutely every level, every reading, everything is 100% perfect. And they said, this can't happen. A liver cannot, that is suffering from cirrhosis, which is what they diagnosed, not because of alcohol, but they call it non-alcoholic cirrhosis of the liver. Cirrhosis can't be reversed. It can't be healed. But it can be when the Lord gets a hold of it. And my liver is now working perfectly. My kidneys are all functioning perfectly. My heart is functioning perfectly. Every number is right. Even my thyroid doctor, because the whole thing threw my thyroid off. Even my thyroid doctor said, you know, last time she checked, she said, your numbers are all just exactly what they should be. I said, well, praise the Lord. She said, well, yeah. Yeah, because it shouldn't be. So, praise the Lord. Faith works. God's word works. But we got to put it to work by choice, by decision. Praise the Lord. All right, praise the Lord. I trust you enjoyed that message. We're going to wrap it up there, and we'll pick up something new next time on the Word of Faith Netcast. Right now, though, I'd love for you to write me here at Word of Faith Ministries. Our address is Word of Faith Ministries, P.O. Box 5213 5213 High Point, North Carolina, the zip code 27262. Write us there. I'd love to hear from you. If God speaks to you about contributing to our ministry, you can do that by contributing through that regular address. Or we also have on our website a place there where you can click and contribute through the website as well. So I encourage you to check that out. at WFM.org, as it says there on the screen. Also, you can write me at my regular email address, drbill, D-R-B-I-L-L, at WFM.org. Join us again next time. Remember, until then, to fulfill the Word of God.
The Word of Faith Netcast is brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries and our partners around the world.